So I still remember vividly my first look at the GAR building. It was in the 1960s. My dad was driving me to a concert at the old Olympia, and I remember thinking, what a cool, cool building. What is it? So tell us more about this building.
Well, you know, we're talking about, as you said, the Detroit's Castle. You know, it was a four-story building, opened in 1900, and it served as something of a frat house for the city's Civil War veterans. It is the GAR, as you said, the Grand Army of the Republic. So those are the Union soldiers we're talking about. And that's where the so-called boys in blue could go to hang out with each other, play cards, checkers, what have you, swap tales from their days on the battlefield, keeping our country whole.
So just like a VFW hall today would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an old-time VFW.
So do we know why they chose to make it look like a little castle?
I think that there are a couple of reasons. The first one's kind of boring, and it's just simply that that style of architecture, the Romanesque, was still in vogue at the time. It's almost Richardsonian Romanesque, they call it. That's with the heavy arches and the big old stones, and that was part of it. I also think that there was some sort of symbolism involved. The castle motif showed how strong and mighty not only the vets were, but it also showed how strong the Republic the veterans had fought to preserve was.
Okay, that fits. So it opens 35 years after the war ends. What happens to it after the Union vets die off?
Well, it was turned over to the city of Detroit, and it threw some city departments in there. It eventually became a rec center and hosted yet more card games and more checker matches. a little less exciting than battlefield action, but... and then they also had Alcoholic Anonymous meetings, dance troops, you know, it was just the rec center.
Yeah.
But as the city shrunk and the budget suffered, Coleman A. Young closed it in 1982, and it makes sense. You know, it's sad to see a building close, but when you are trying to preserve finite resources, there's never been a large number of people living downtown, so it just kind of closed. And after that, it was quickly boarded up. And then the city of Detroit did a great job keeping people out, you know.
So it didn't fare too badly then in that time since 82?
Yeah, defined badly. I mean, compared with Detroit standards for abandoned buildings, I'd say the GAR certainly did better than most. You know, the board stayed up. There wasn't a tremendous amount of scrapping involved. It wasn't until, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years later when some urban explorers got in there and popped the roof hatches and left them open. We had some water get in there, and water, nothing destroys architecture like water. So we had some rotting and the like, became a giant old pigeon coop. But, you know, compared with something like the Easttown Theater at Harper and Van Dyke or Michigan Central Station,
yes,
or a number of others, it did pretty well.
Now, the Illich operation, Olympia Development, actually had a crack at doing something with the building, but it never happened. Why was that?
Well, you know, you'd have to ask Olympia Development. You know, I think that part of it was the Illiches wanted to acquire a bunch of land over near Fox, the Fox Theater, Comerica Park, and it owns tons of parking lots. Every parking lot that's over there pretty much is owned by Olympia. So it kind of made sense for them to eye that building as a potential development. Unfortunately, the Illich family, while they have done a lot of great things for the city of Detroit, they're not really known for rehabbing buildings other than the Fox.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that the demand or the plan came together, and then to the city's credit, the city said, well, if you're not going to develop it, we're going to give it to someone who will. And that's when we saw the building turned over to Minefield.
So tell us about these three men who are kind of like the knights on horseback coming in to save the GAR building.
Save the castle, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it's Minefield USA. They're a company, a small business in the city of Detroit. Tom and Dave Carlton are brothers, and they have a business partner, Sean Emery. They love the city of Detroit. They love the GAR building, and they decided that they weren't going to just sit by and watch another one of the city's architectural gems go to waste. And so they had been actively pursuing or courting this building for a number of years. Even back, they lost it to the Illich family back a couple of years ago. And so once that building went back on the market, they were right there with checkbooks in hand.
I'm speaking with Dan Austin from the Detroit Free Press, talking about the GAR building, the Grand Army of the Republic building. Anyone who's driven on Detroit's west side, if you've gone along Grand River and seen that cool little castle with the little crenellated turrets there looking like something out of medieval England, this is the building we're talking about, and it has been sitting idle since 1982. But because of two brothers, Tom and David Carlton, and their business partner, Sean Emery, there is some hope for this building. Now, these three men are not like the Dan Gilberts and the Mike Ilitches, real, real big money people, are they?
Right. I mean, certainly they run a successful business, mm-hmm. but it is a small business. They're not gazillionaires like the Ilitches and Gilberts. You won't find them on the Forbes list of richest people. But I think that what the GAR shows, it's not just saving a great building, or it's not just saving a monument to the, you know, the Union veterans of the Civil War. Mm-hmm. This shows that you don't have to be completely loaded to save a great piece of Detroit history. And I think that's one of the most important aspects of this story.
It is, and it, I guess I'm wondering, as you look at this and knowing what you do know, Dan Austin, about these forgotten landmarks of Detroit, what does this story tell us about the opportunities for do-it-yourself types and entrepreneurs in cities like Detroit?
I think one of the great things about the city of Detroit, and I've lived all over the country, you can't really make a big difference in many other cities. But in Detroit, if you have a lot of determination, you know, you put yourself out there, not afraid to take a little risk, you know, you can make big things happen. And yes, certainly not anybody, just anybody, can save one of these buildings, but you'd be surprised what you can do. You're looking at about a $3 million renovation on the GAR. That is more than I have. However, mm-hmm. you know, compared with something like the Book Cadillac, which came in around $200 million, the Fort Shelby was around $75. You know, you look at a building and it's got boards on it and maybe some graffiti, and you're just like, oh boy, there's no saving that. There's no money, no way that we could raise enough money. And, you know, the Carlton brothers and Sean Emery, they're showing that you can.
You know, Dan, when you look at buildings like you cited the Michigan Central train station, we know it's now owned by Matty Maroon, and these are once grand buildings being allowed to rot before our eyes. And it's a story that's repeated not only in Detroit, we're seeing it in other cities throughout Michigan. What do you think it takes to preserve these architectural gems and keep them from becoming the next Michigan Central?
That's a great question. Short answer is will and money. And, you know, Detroit's troubles are well known. You know, there's not a whole lot of money. There aren't enough employees in the city of Detroit to kind of do code enforcement and the like. But, you know, the biggest problem is if you look at something like the World's Fair building, which is over across the street from the Detroit Opera House, you know, that's owned by a lawyer and a judge, so they should have money. The rear wall collapsed off the back of that building. The city of Detroit has ticketed these guys, and normally in most cities, the city would eventually just take it over. But really, Detroit doesn't need any more buildings. You know,
right.
The last thing it wants is another abandoned building. And if the building, if a brick falls off the building and clobbers somebody on the top of the noggin, then it's the building owner's fault, not the city of Detroit. And that's a horrible way of looking at it, but it's sort of true. That's why a lot of these, I don't want to necessarily call them slumlords, but perhaps people who own buildings that are not in good shape, you know, they're allowed to kind of get away with it because there isn't much recourse. There's not much the city of Detroit is willing or able to do. So I think to stop buildings from getting to the point of Michigan Central, you know, you need to have the city take a more active role in policing the buildings and saying, hey, if you're going to redevelop it, great. If you're not, you need to give it to somebody who is. Boards and all that will do only so much. I mean, you would be surprised at how resourceful some of these scrappers are. And, you know, a lot of it's just not letting the building get to that point in the first place.
Dan Austin writes for the Detroit Free Press and also runs the Detroit Architectural Resource, historicdetroit.org. And he's written the two books, Forgotten Landmarks of Detroit and Lost Detroit. Keep us posted, if you will, on the GAR building, Dan.
Yeah, it should be open next spring, they're saying.
We'll keep monitoring. Thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.